Today's shir is Masechta Gittin Daf Tes, and we will begin on Daf Ches Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Amalei Rav Ada Bar Masdan L'Rav. In the previous shir, at the end of the previous shir, we had learnt a machloikis of Abaye and Rava. The Braisa taught us that if an Eved brings a star shichur, and in the star shichur there are essentially two statements, Atzmecha on the Chosai Knuyen Loch, and the Eved bringing this star shichur, as we're going to learn in the Mishnah, says Befanei Nechta, Befanei Nechtam. The Braisa taught us that he's Nemon, he's believed as far as the himself, and he's free, and he's not Nemon as far as the Nechasim. But then the Gemara posed a question, what would be the Halacha if there was only one statement said, Kol Nechasai Knuyen Loch, which in that one statement of Kol Nechasai are included himself and the assets of the owner, what would be the din? And we had a machloikis of Rava and Abaya. Rava said, we say Palgin and Debura. We separate this one statement actually into two. And as far as himself is concerned, he's Nemon, and he goes free. And as far as the Nechasim are concerned, he's not Nemon. And the Achroinim, Abelchanan, explains that this is not really a situation of Palgin and Debura, it's really a situation of Palginon Nemonis. We divide what we believe him to say into two. And we believe him as far as he himself is concerned, but we do not believe him as far as the Nechasim is concerned. And Rabbi Chanan explains the lomdus of what Rava holds, that he holds that really a shtar, this shtar, albeit that it has this one statement in it of Kol Nechasai, really represents a number of different kinyonim, a kinyon on himself, a kinyon on the Nechasim. And therefore, Rava says, we have the ability to separate these two dinim into two. Abaya, however, disagrees, does not subscribe to the concept of Palgin and Debura. And according to the Maskana of Abaya's Halacha, he's not Nemon, not regarding the Nechasim, nor regarding himself. So we begin today's shir with Amalei Rava, Rav Ada Bar Masdan L'Rava. Rav Ada Bar Masdan asks Rava, come on, whose opinion are you following when you subscribe to the concept of Palgin and Debura? Obviously, you subscribe to the opinion of Rav Shimon, Dama Palgin and Debura. The Tanan for the Mishnah says, HaKosev Kol Nechasov L'Avdoi. If somebody writes a Shtar Shichur for his Eved, and in that Shtar Shichur he writes, all my Nechasim should now be yours, Yotze Ben Chayrim. Then the Eved goes out free. This represents a total emancipation, because the Shtar includes himself and all the Nechasim that he owns. However, if Shayer Karka Kalshu, if in the Shtar he says that I'm leaving over a piece of property, even of any size, in other words, he wrote in the Shtar, Kol Nechasai Knuyen Loch Chutz Mikarka Kalshu, so we have to say, when he excluded some property, he might have also excluded the Eved in this statement when he's saying Chutz Mikarka Kol Shehu, and therefore, since the Eved is not, since there's a concern, this is the way the Torah Gittin explaining Rashi learns, that since an Eved is considered Karka, many times throughout Shas we find the concept of Avdei Kemekarkei. So we have to be concerned that he excluded the Eved, and therefore, and that the Eved, he also kept, may be the item that he's keeping ownership on, and therefore the Eved is not free, and therefore, La Yotze Ben Chayrim. And as Rashi goes on to explain, As soon as the owner retains any ownership in the Eved, then the Eved cannot have any ownership of the other property, because we know the halacha is Kol ma shekana Eved kana Rabbi. And therefore, if in this case there's a concern that he included that when he said Shayer Kaka Kol Shehu, he meant the Eved, therefore the Eved doesn't go free. So asks Rashi the obvious question: if the Eved doesn't go free, what's the purpose of his entire statement? So Rashi says he only did this to be machnif, to flatter the Eved, not that he really wanted it to have any legal effect. And in fact, the Ramban points out, as we learned at the end of Masechta Sota, how terrible Chanufa is. Here we also see again what Chanufa represents. The owner was chanif him, but what did the Chanufa accomplish? The Chanufa actually accomplished nothing. And in fact, there's a Medrash in Parashas Lech Lecha which follows this same concept. The Medrash says there was once a person who had a son who he lived in Eretz Yisrael, and his son was learning in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and he went off to Medinas Hayam with his Eved, and he got very ill in Medinas Hayam, and he recognized that he was about to die. So he wrote a shtar to his Eved that everything I own should belong to you except one thing, any one thing my son should choose to keep for himself. The Eved came back to Eretz Yisrael carrying the shtar, assuming that he was now a very rich, free and rich man. The son who he presented the shtar to did not exactly understand what his father's intention were with the shtar, and he went and asked his Rav to help him understand. He says, what your father said was that you could choose any one item to keep for yourself. What your father was trying to tell you was, choose the Eved to keep for yourself. And then we have the concept that we just described of Kol ma shekana Eved kana Rabbi, and by that you too, the Eved will be yours, and he will not be as free. And he will not be free. And explain probably what your father intended to do was he was concerned that if he would not write the shtar this way, the Eved would just never come back, or the Eved would abuse all of the assets. This was the way your father protected you and his assets from the Eved misappropriating them. However, this is the opinion of the Tanna Kamma. Rav Shimon disagrees. Lo'ilahu ben Chayrim. He's always going to be ben Chayrim. If he used this language, we understand that he did not mean the Eved, and therefore he's always going to remain a ben Chayrim. Ach yoimer, unless the owner wrote the following Lashon. If he wrote the Lashon, Kol nechasai nesunin l'ploini avdi, I'm giving over all my assets to that Eved, chutz mi'echem ribuah shebehen, except 1/10,000. There we interpret that what the owner meant to say with that statement, chutz mi'echem ribuah, he meant that the Eved should not be freed. And even if the Eved does represent a value of more than 1/10,000 of the assets of the owner, he could always say that in my mind he's wasn't worth more. Or as the Ritva explains, it could be that he wouldn't say that because it's just not true. The Eved may be worth more than 1/10,000 of his assets, but what happened here is that that 1/10,000 that he kept for himself, he kept in the Eved. And once the Eved is not completely and totally free, we're back to where we started, that we discussed Kol ma shekana Eved kana Rabbi, and it's considered completely the owner, he's considered no longer free, and the owner is now, and he doesn't get anything. Another pshat that the Rambam says, that we explain what he meant, is that in every asset, the owner meant to say that in every asset that he has, he wants to keep ownership of a portion that's equal to 1/10,000th of that asset. And since he wants to keep ownership of one of that amount, therefore he still retains some ownership of the Eved, and the Eved is not free. Rav Shimon made a very strong statement. Rav Shimon said that only that Rav Shimon says that when the owner said Shayer Karka Kol Shehu, since we know that he doesn't mean the Eved, because the Eved is not Karka, there Rav Shimon says the Eved would go free and the Karka would remain the owner's. Only in a case such as this last case that we just described, when he said Chutz Me'ech Me'ribu'a Shebehen, where there's a real concern that he meant the Eved, does Rav Shimon agree that the Eved doesn't go free? But in the first case, he does go free, which represents a situation of Palgin and the Bura, the Eved going free, and the Karka remaining the owners. Ask Tosfos, why do we say that the Karka remains the owners? Yes, the owner said that he wants to keep some Karka, but why do we say that all of the Karka should remain the owners? We should say that the owner has the right to choose, since he's the original owner, that he has the right to choose which of all of the Karka he owns should remain his. But why do we say that all of the Karka remains his? And because of this kasha, Tosfos explains that the case here is that the owner only owns one piece of Karka. So in Shir Karka Kol Shehu, it must be that one Karka. There is no other Karka under consideration. Rashi, however, explains, since we don't know which Karka he meant, we have to say that every Karka is the Karka perhaps that he meant, and therefore all of the Karka remains by the owner. Clearly, Rav Shimon is teaching us that we say Palgin in the Bura. However, the Maram Shif asks a very fundamental question. Who says that the explanation of the Tanakhama is because we say Palgin in the Bura? Perhaps the explanation of Tanakhama is because we don't know, as Rashi explained when we said at the beginning of the Shir, because we don't know what he meant to keep for himself, and maybe he meant to keep for himself the Eved. That's why the Tanakhama holds that the Eved doesn't go free, says the Maram Shif. But not because we say Palgin in the Bura, says the Maram Shif, because we have to follow what is being said here. What did he say here, Rav Shimon? Lo'olam hu ben chayrim. Rav Shimon uses very strong words. Lo'olam hu ben chayrim. Rav Shimon, by using the words lo'olam, means to say in all cases, in all cases, even when there is no question what he meant to keep and what he didn't mean to keep, the Tanakhama will hold that the Eved doesn't go free, because we don't subscribe to the concept of Palgin in the Bura. And says the Gemara, V'amar Rav Yosef ben Yumini, Amar Rav Nachman, Af api shekilas Rav Yosef Rav Shimon, even though Rav Yosef praised what Rav Shimon said, Haloch Krameya, the Haloch remains like Krameya. The Tanya, Kshenem Ridvarim Lefnei Rav Yosef, when this was said to Rav Yosef, what Rav Shimon had said, Karav Lav HaMikra Zeh, he said this pasuk, Shfosayim Yishak Meshev Dvarim Nechoichim, such words, such Dvarim Nechoichim, such wonderful words deserve to be kissed. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos learns Sosayim Yishak means that he kept his lips closed. And what he meant to say is, what he says is so powerful and so correct that Yishak, Sosayim Yishak, there's nothing to add, there's nothing to say by hearing such a statement. So here we see that we follow the opinion of the Tanakhama Rameya that doesn't say Palgin in the Bura. So how could Rava, who does say Palgin in the Bura over here, follow the opinion of Rav Shimon? Ask the Gemara, Miyomer Rav Nachman Hachi, is this indeed true that we follow the opinion of Tanakhama and we don't say Palgin in the Bura? V'amar Rav Yosef ben Yoni, Amar Rav Nachman. There's a concept throughout Shas of a Shchimera. A shchimer is a person who's very ill, and the Gemara says, "Divrei shchimer k'ksuvim k'msurim dami." Even though normally to effect a transfer of property, we have to have a kinyan, a shchimera has the ability just by saying it, saying that he wants that his property should go to this owner, this person, the kinyan, it becomes that person's with the condition, however, that the shchimera passes away. For we assume that the shchimera only meant that this should be effective if he indeed will die. So it says in the Brice, it says Reb Nachman said the following. He wrote over all of his assets to a certain slave, V'omad, and then he gets better. The halacha is chayzim in the chosim, as we just said a moment ago. If he taka gets better, then the whole transaction is void. However, the eved remains free. And as the Rishonim explained, because once the eved is free, even if the circumstances changed, the owner is no longer shchimera, that remains that the eved goes free. And he explained himself. The reason that the assets revert back to the owner, to the shchimera, because it's matana shchimerahu, which is only valid if the shchimera unfortunately passes away. The eved remains free because he became a ben chayrim. So here we see that we do say palgin in the bura, that he made this one statement, and the statement is divided regarding the nechassim, they go back to the owner. Regarding the eved, he remains free. So here we see that Rav Nachman does say pelgin in the bura. Ask Tosfos, as the Achronim explain what Tosfos means to ask. Here, the eved isn't kept free, doesn't go free because we subscribe to saying pelgin in the bura. It's as we just said, it's a special din that once the eved was declared a free man, he remains that way forever. So how is the Gemara attempting to use this din of Rav Nachman as a proof that we say Palgin in the Bura? So as Tosfos answers, this is again the way the Achronim explain Tosfos' teretz. Here we understand that what the Shchimera, when he made this original statement, because he was aware there is such a rule, that once the Eved is declared free, he remains free forever, he intended to separate his statement, recognizing that the nechassim aspect of a statement depend if he will survive or not survive, and the eved part doesn't depend on that. So we see that he was able to make one statement, recognizing that this one statement may go in two different directions. So we see that we say palgin in the bura. Ella Mervashi. So we go back to the beginning of the shir. Why? What is the base? So we do say palgin in the bura. Everybody says palgin in the bura. So what's pshat in Rameya? Hosam hanatama. This is the reason why Rameya says that if somebody says a kosev nechassel v'avdoi v'shir karka kol shehu, then the eved doesn't go free. It's for a different reason altogether. Shum delav kros kitahu. The get that we give to an eved, the shtar shichrur, is similar to the get that a husband gives to a wife, which the Torah calls a sefer krisus, a document that completely severs their relationship. That has to be. And here, when he was shaya karka kol shehu, then there's no complete severance. And we find here three opinions in the Rishonim why this is not considered a sefer krisus. Tosfos says, because the wording of this document is, so to speak, self-contradictory. First, it says, he's giving everything away. And then he says, chutz. Kol, everything, and chutz, not everything, contradict each other. They're confusing. And therefore, it's not considered a safer krisus. Rashi explains, the reason it's not considered a sefer krisus here, since there's ambiguity, what is the karka that he's keeping for himself? As we explained in Rashi's opinion, he had many karkas, but since he didn't identify which karka he's keeping for himself, so there's built-in ambiguity into this document. a Shtar Shichra to be effective, a Koitra Meir, has to be devoid of any confusion, and therefore it's not considered an effective Shtar Shichra. Actually, the Machloikis of Rashi and Tosfos here is connected to their original Machloikis of how many Karkos did this owner own. Tosfos is following his opinion that in this case the owner owned one Karka only. Rashi is following his opinion that there were many Karkos. But the Rif has a different explanation. The Rif explains that when the owner keeps a Karka Kol Shehu, so then this Shtar isn't only here to serve as a document to free the Eved, it also is here for the owner to have a document that he still has ownership on a piece of property. For a Shtar Shichrur to be effective, for a Shtar Shichrur, says the Rif, to be considered a safe Krisis, it has to be completely for the Eved. Here, where the owner still needs to have the Shtar, because that's the proof that he retains ownership on at least some of the property or one of the properties, therefore it's not considered an effective Shtar Shichrur. And has nothing to do with the concept of Palginan Debura. So we learned in the Mishnah, Im Yesh Lav Ayurim, if the Shliach brought the get, and wasn't able, or not to throw, where we don't say Befani Nechtam, Befani Nechtam, if there are Ayurim, then the Mishnah says, Kaim Bechesama Udu Kiyim. Ask the Gemara, Irukama, exactly what does the Mishnah mean that there was an Iruk? Ilam Iruchad, it will just suggest that one person protested, Vomer of Nachman, the Rakal any Irupok Mishnaim. Ir has to have at least two people. Vela Ir Trey. It must be that two people came and protested that this get is not valid. Asking more if that's the case, Trey betray Ninu. We have a situation of two Adim saying that the get is not good, the two people that are protesting. The two Adim signing the Shtar on the get are saying that the get is good. In a situation of Trey or Trey, my chaz of the Samchas Ahani, why would Samach Ahani, which pair of Edom are more powerful? And as the Rishonim explained, when we have such a situation, the halach is that we follow the chazaka. And this woman has a cheskas eshes ish, and she would therefore be considered an eshes ish. Says the Gemara, Ira de Baal, the Mishnah is referring to a situation where the husband was ma'arer. And in such a case, when the husband was ma'arur, there we say that we have to be, even though he's one individual only, since, as the Rishonim explained, he is a relevant party, he's the husband of this wife, therefore we believe what he says, and we have to, and the get will not be considered effective unless we bring two edim to be mekayim, the chasimus on the get. Tosfos gives another example of who could be an effective ma'arur, even if he's only one individual. And that's lekuchas. That means if the husband had sold off his assets to a buyer, and he has no assets anymore. And if this get is a valid get, the wife is entitled to the ksuba. And the husband doesn't have any property, so the wife will go to the lekuchas. So they remain relevant parties. And as we just explained a moment ago, when the person being ma'arur is a person who has an interest in this situation, even if he's one individual, he has a right to be ma'arur. Therefore, the husband, the lekuchas, have a right to be ma'arur. And as the Maram Shif explains, what caused Tosfos to look for another example? So the Maram Shif explains, because the Mishnah uses the lashon im yeshal of oirerim, more than one example of an Oirim. But the Gemara only gave us one example, Ira the Baal. That's why Tosfos looked for another example, and he came up with such an example, indeed, the Lekuchas. But now the question is, if the Lekuchas have a right to be Ma'arur, why did the Gemara only mention the husband? Why didn't the Gemara also mention the Lekuchas? So according to the Ran, there's a very nice answer. A husband, as we said already at the beginning of the Masechta, if the husband is ma'arur, then we have to react to his error. But we will not be ma'arur on behalf of the husband. The Ran, however, says, by lekuchas, it's different. Lekuchas, we will be ma'arur on behalf of the lekuchas. So now, it's very geschmack. The Mishnah is referring to a case where the person was ma'arer himself. Lekuchis are ma'arer. We are ma'arer on their behalf, and therefore that's not the exact case of the Mishnah, and that's why the Gemara didn't mention it. Another teretz is based on the Rosh. The Rosh says that even if the lekuchis are ma'arer, their error could only be effective that this woman should not be entitled to collect the ksuba. Because really that's the purpose of their error. The purpose of their error is to protect that the assets should remain by them and not be given to the wife for a ksuba. But they have no right to say that she's still an Eishes Ish. And therefore, since she has no right to say, since their error is limited to the ksuba, that's why the Gemara doesn't mention it. The Gemara mentions a case where the error is totally effective, both for the ksuba and for the fact that she will not be considered an Eishes Ish. Says the Mishnah, Hamevi get from Medina Siyam, if somebody brings a get from Medina Siyam, and he is unable to say b'fani nechta b'fani nechta, im yeshal of edim, if there are edim signed on it, iskayim b'chesamav, then we should make the get valid through kiyum. We have over here a Tosfos Yontif that says from here, from our Mishnah, we have a raya to the machloikus or Rabbi Elazar Rameya. There's a very important machloikus that we're going to work with a lot in this Masecht of Lazar Rameya, Eidech Sima Karti, Eidem Asiri Karti. Who are the Eidem that really have to make the get effective? Beleza says the Eidem Asira, the Eidem the watch the get being given over to the wife. May says the Eidem who are signed on the get. Says the Tosfos Yontif, our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Because the Mishnah says, Im Yeshal of Eidem, if there are Eidem signed, which seems to teach us that we don't necessarily have to have Eidim sign, because it follows the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, who says that Eidei Mesira Karti, and we don't really need to have Eidei Chsima at all on the get. However, others disagree with the Tosfos Yontif, and they say that our Mishnah could be even following the opinion of Rameya. And what does Myeshel of Eidim mean? Myeshel of Eidim is coming to describe how the Kiyum is done. If we're able to find Eidim who can testify that they recognize that these are indeed the signatures, these are the authentic signatures of these people, then that's the way to accomplish Kiyum. Continues the Mishnah. Echad Gitei Noshim Vechad Shechurei Avodim, both by Gitei Noshim and by Shechurei Avodim, Shav L'mayel Chalmevi, the Loch is whether get is brought from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, or get is brought from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, we have to say b'fani nechta b'fani nechta. So the Rishonim ask, as we learned on Daf Beis, really the get should have to have kiyum. Why did Chazal say that the shliach himself saying b'fani nechta is adequate? Shmigune kilu barabon. So that's possible. That's by a get. But what does that have to do with a shtar shichru? So Rashi explains, because an Eved is really in a similar situation. If we don't know if the Shtar Shichru is valid, he can't marry a Yisraelis, because he still may be an Eved. On the other hand, he can't marry a Shivcha, because he may be freed. So he is also in a situation of Igun, and therefore Chazal, by him too, said that if the Shliach proclaims B'fani Nechtam, B'fani Nechtam, we consider the Shtar to be a valid star. Tosfos, however, takes issue with Rashi's pshat, because he says, why do we have to explain that that's, why does the shliach have to give the get the shtar? And now we have a question, how do we view the shtar? As a valid shtar? Well, not as a valid shtar, don't give the shtar, and then we know for sure that he's still an Eved, and he can marry a Shivcha. So where is the Igun here? So Tosfos explains the Igun here is that as long as he's an Eved, he's not mechuyev to do any mitzvahs. Now, that if he is an Eved, he'll be mechuyev in all the mitzvahs. So that's a situation that he wants to happen. That's a situation that's very favorable, and that's considered dissimilar to Mishimi Guna, Ekibo Rabbanan, and therefore saying Bifani Nechta, Bifani Nechtam is enough. So I saw that the Mefarshim point out. We know from throughout Shas, throughout Halacha, there's a concept of Mishimi Guna, Ekibo Rabbanan. We're always very concerned, correctly so, about a woman who should not have to remain chained, she can't get remarried. Here, Tosfos is teaching us, an Eved who doesn't have the opportunity to do mitzvahs is considered equal to the woman who's Nachmana Tzlana Naguna. Not being able to do a mitzvah is the same as an Aguna. Says the Mishnah, V'zu achs min adrochim, sheshova gitte noshim l'shakur evadim. This is one of the ways that gitte noshim l'shakur evadim are the same, that the shliach who brings it says b'fani nechta b'fani nechta. As Tosfos, we learn shechurei avodim from gitei noshim, not gitei noshim from shechurei avodim. So what does our Mishnah mention shav gitei noshim shechurei avodim as if shechurei avodim is the main place that we know the din of b'fanei nechta b'fanei nechta for? So Tosfos answers that since we've been learning the halachas of gitei noshim, so our Mishnah mentions gitei noshim first. The Rashba says that the entire question is not really a question, because whenever the Mishnah uses a lashon gita shav two things, it really doesn't make a difference which one is mentioned first, which one is mentioned second. Other Rishonim I saw explain that the point that the Mishnah is trying to teach us is that this rule that the shliach who brings the get isha or the shliach who brings the get shichur should say b'fani nechta b'fani nechtam, this takonas chazal was made at the same time. But Rabbi Kiva Eger gives a very interesting teretz. Rabbi Kiva Eger says that, as we've said earlier, this rule that a shliach who brings a get isha could say himself a funny nechta, a funny nechtam, and it should be enough, is really a special kula. But as we learned on that base of a base, mishimi guna ikilu barabonim. By, however, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, the fact that the shliach, because really it should not be enough, because as we learned, it's a davar shebe'erva, and a davar shebe'erva requires two eidim. However, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, regarding the eved that one person is believed, that's not a special kula. This is like a situation of eid echad nembi surim, where halachically one eid is enough. So now we could understand the Mishnah very beautifully. That the shliach himself is neman, is a less of a chiddush by shichur than it is by get. And that's what the Mishnah says, that just like by shichur, one person halachically is certainly sufficient, we went and said that by gitei noshim, so too should be the din. So the Mishnah spoke about a case of Eino Yochel Lomer. We already learned this Gemara, that the person is unable to say b'fani nechta b'fani nechta. What does that mean? Asked the Gemara. Eloi mecheresh, if we're going to say it's a person who's a deaf mute, ask the Gemara, cheresh barasui gitehu, can such a person be a shliach to bring a get? But now, hakol ksheirim lohavis a get, chutz mecheresh shayt v'katan, as we learned, because he's not a bar das. Am Rav Yosef, hochem ma'eskinen, kigon shenoslo shepikeach, the shliach gave over the get while he was bekeach, for like his bekloim of funny nechtam, funny nechtam, and he was unable to complete and say funny nechtam, funny nechtam, achnas cheresh before he became a deaf mute, and that's why kiyum is required, because he couldn't say funny nechtam, funny nechtam. And again, as we learned, we're not going to review the entire sugya. We Baruch Hashem learned it once, just to make a number of points. Number one, the reason. From here we see that b'fani nechtam does not have to be said exactly as the get is being given over. It could still be said toch kedei dibur of the get being given over. And that's exactly what happened here. In that toch kedei dibur period is when he's nischarish. However, as we also learned, the Rishonim ask, why do we have to explain that the Mishnah is referring to a situation that it became a cherish? Why can't we explain that referring to a situation that he became an elaim, that he was a deaf, that he just can't speak, and therefore he can't say b'fani nechta b'fani nechtam, and he was an elaim all along? So Tosfos, we learned, answers, Any Yochel Loimer seems to indicate that something happened now, not that it was this way all along. The Ran answered that if the concern was, if the only problem with him was that he's an Elaim could still accomplish B'fanei Nechtem, B'fanei Nechtem by writing the word B'fanei Nechtem, B'fanei Nechtem. Only a Cheresh, who's not considered a Bar Das, cannot do B'fanei Nechtem in any manner, saying or writing. So the Mishnah said, Echad Gitei Nosh V'Echad Shechrur Evadim. Tana Rabbanan, B'shlosh Drachim Shavah Gitei Nosh V'Shechrur Evadim. In three manners, Shechrur Evadim and Gitei Nosh are the same. Shavah L'Moylech L'Mevi, that we learned, they have to say B'fanei Nechtem, B'fanei Nechtem. Any get that has on it a kuti as an aid is a apostle get. Any shtar, where there it would be valid if we have one aid kuti signed on it, and we'll discuss this more in tomorrow's share. All shtaris that are processed in the court of the Kechavim, Api Shechaismeim of the Kechavim, even though they're signed by of the Kechavim, Ksherim, Chutz Migitei Noshim Shechurei Avadim. And Rashi, as the Evan Ha'ozel explains the opinion of Rashi, says, why are Shtoris besides Gittin and Shechurei Avadim valid? So Rashi actually says two concepts, as the Evan Ha'ozel points out. Rashi says there's a concept of Dina de Machusa Dina, and there's a concept that Bnei Noach are mitzvah and are obligated to follow all the laws of Mominus. So Evan Ozel explains what Rashi is trying to say is like this. Because Goyim are obligated to follow Dinim, all the Dinim Mominus, and we know that because of Dinei de Melchusa Dina, they actually do follow all of these rules. Therefore, the halach is that a shtar mammon that was processed by a non-Jewish court is a valid shtar. However, Gittin and Kedushin are rules that are not relevant to Goyim, and therefore they can't be parties. A shtar processed by a get or Kedushin processed by a non-Jewish court will be invalid. So according to Rashi, a shtar mammon processed by a koshlad kachavim is midoraisa acceptable. Taisus disagrees. Taisus says that a shtar mammon processed by a kos is not really valid midoraisa. It's only at the konis to rabbonon, because hefker bezdin hefker, that the rabbonon have full power over all monetary issues, do we say that a shtar processed by Akosh Lav D'Kachavim is valid. Continues the Gemara, Kedivra Rameya, according to Rameya, Ba'arba. There are four ways that Gittei Noshim and Shechurei Avadim are similar. Haima 10 gets at Lishti. If somebody says, give this get to my wife, or Shta Shechur Zeh L'Avdi, Rotza Lachs B'Shneim Yachs Kedivra Rameya. There's a concept throughout Shas of Zoch L'Odim Shlev B'Fonov. If I'm doing something on behalf of someone else, which is to his favor, I could do it to him without him having designated me as the person to do it on his behalf. But if it's a chayv, if it's something detrimental, then we can't. A get is certainly detrimental. So if somebody says to someone, if a man says to a shliach, take this get to my wife, and only when she gets it will be she divorced, his picking it up is certainly not a chus on her behalf, and she's not divorced until she gets it. Rameya holds that an eved being free is also not something necessarily beneficial. We'll explain Rameya's opinion later, Emet Hashem. And therefore, we don't apply the concept of Zochel Adam Shloi B'Fonov by Shtar Shichur, and the eved is not free until the shtar actually is delivered to him. And that's another way, according to Rameya at least, where Shtar Shichur and Gittei Noshim are the same. So says the Gemara, Bishlam Rabbanan, the Rabbanan, Minyana, when the Brice began with Shloishu, with the word three, the Mutei Adameya, the comment excluded that they don't follow the opinion of Rameya. That's only these three and not anything else. El Rameya Minyan El Mutimai. According to Rameya, he says there are four to exclude that there's no more. What's he coming to exclude? He says, Gemara Muti Hadatanya. We learned in the Braisa. Eidim Sheinu Yoidim Lachtoim. If Eidim don't know how to sign the name, Mekam Lam Naya Cholik, we etch out their names on a blank parchment, Malam as a Kroim Diyoy, and they fill the etching with ink. So Taisus and the other Rishonim go into explaining exactly how is this done. Simple pshat is that they carve, that people who are able to write carve out for them, write the letters, and then they write on top of that, which certainly Taisus would say is not acceptable, because that's ksav al gab ksav, which is not considered writing. So Taisus says, and even if they were just going to make the outlines of the letters and they fill in the inside, it also may not be considered that the Eidim really wrote their name. It might be considered there was a ksav. So therefore Taisus says, one pshat, that they go and they just give them the basic outline. If you had the outline alone, you could not discern the letters and the words. And based on that minimal outline, the Eidim now go and fill in the letters. That's considered that the Eidim signed. Another pshat that Taisus says is that we make like a stencil with letters, and the Eidim fill in their names. They make out the names. They fill in the letters on that stencil. However, the Yerushalmi and many Paiskim are concerned with that, because what is unique about a signature? What's unique about a signature is that everybody signs their name in a specific manner. Here, it's not the Eidim signing their name in their unique form of signing. They're just filling in a stencil. So the Yerushalmi says that it's not really that way, because it's not like they take the stencil and they fill it in perfectly, and really that doesn't represent anything unique. The stencil has the letters, but they don't have to fill it in exactly. They could leave out, they could make it smaller or wider, and therefore this would be considered a unique signature. Aram Shimon Gamliel, Mamed Vamamurim, when do we say that this is an acceptable way of having Eidim sign a shtar? Begitei Noshim, Av Shechruy Avodim Shakol Shtaris, Im Yoidim Likrois, if they could read and sign, they should sign. In other words, if they can't, we should not get Eidim that sign that way. So ask the Pnei Yeshua. Didn't Taisus say, as we said earlier, that by an Eved, there's also a concept of Iguna? So just like we're Mekel, Mishum Iguna by a Get, shouldn't we say the same concept by Ishtar Shechur? Says the Pnei Yeshua. In a case where we don't know if the Eved is going to ever be free, and we want it to be free in order they should be able to fulfill mitzvahs, we say there's a concept, we want to do something they should be able to fulfill mitzvahs. Here it's only a question of waiting until we get an aid who could really sign his name. Certainly waiting for such an aid will not be considered an igun, and that's the right thing to do. Only by a get, where we're specially concerned about iguna, do we not do that. So the Braisa says, who spoke about reading? We're speaking about signing. Answers Gemara, this is the way to understand the Braisa. If Eidim don't know how to sign, read, we read the shtar for them, and then they sign the name. Ask Tosfos, why is this not considered aid and aid if somebody is reading on their behalf? So Taisus answers that it's not really considered that they're aid and aid, because the Maisa, the Eidim saw, the Kri is only what it says in the Get, and that's not considered aid and aid, as the Nachlas Moshe explains very nicely. If Eidim see an act, where we always need to have Eidim for an act to be considered something that was seen, and Eidim have to be able to tell us when they come to court what date it happened on, what time it happened. So an Edom sees something happening, and they turn around to the people around them and ask them, what time is it? What's today's date? That wouldn't be considered NVP8. Here too, somebody reading for them what it says in the shtar is not considered NVP8. If the Edom are unable to sign, we etch it out on their behalf. Are there no other similarities between a get and a shtar shichur? If somebody says, give this get to my wife, and he died before the document was delivered, the law is, because a shtar can't be valid after the person who's giving it died. However, tnu money leplani meis, we said give this $100 to this person and then he died, yitnu lachemisa, it can be given after he died. Answers the Gemara, kiktani milsa, the lesser b'shtar is, our Bryce is only teaching us things that apply only by gittin and by shtar shichur, and not by all other shtars. However, milsa the isa b'shtaris, something that applies by all shtaris, like tani. The shalach rav mishmeid ravua, have you a din? She shalach rav lezer l'goyle mishim rabbeinu, shimera, she amma kisu utnu mana l'plani, the shimera who said, give over this document that says this to this person, en kai umeis, and he died before the document was given over, the loch is, en kai suv neisman. We don't deliver it, because perhaps the shimera did not mean that the aid should get, that the recipient should get it only when he received the shtar. And by the time this recipient received the shtar, the shimera had passed away. And the shtar cannot be effective lachamisa. So this concept that lachamisa, shtaris, are not effective, is not something which is limited, is not something which is limited to shtari shichur and to gittei anoshim, and therefore is not listed in this brisa.